You there! This is Dave and Jason.
Hey!
From DC On Screen. It's that time again. We need help from you to grow our show. But keep listening, because there's something in it for you. Give us a 5-star written review on iTunes for a chance to win a free DC trade paperback, DVD, or Blu-ray valued at $15 or less. 1 in 10 will win. The winner will be randomly selected with a number generator on random.org and announced on one of our news episodes. It's pretty simple, really.
Free stuff.
Hooray! Anyway, yeah, seriously, do that. It helps us a lot. It's, like, so good. Anyway, sit back, enjoy this brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 223. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This, my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
Today we're going to get super spoilerish-y on Arrow 502, The Recruits. To recap, Oliver and Felicity fight over how to train some new recruits, Curtis, Wild Dog, Evelyn Sharp. Oliver wants to train them the way the Bratva trained him, while Felicity feels the situation requires a little more trust. Meanwhile, Ragman, the only survivor of the Haven Rock bombing on Genesis Day, begins his reign of vengeance on Star City as Diggle uncovers some shady shit in Chechnya and gets himself framed. How was that?
That's pretty straightforward. I think we know they were saying something's going to happen overseas to Diggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been wondering, I don't know if I wondered out loud, but I'd been at least wondering internally, like, man, you can't just, like, have a bad day on a tour of duty and be like, I'm going home. But this mm-hmm. kind of bad day, I think you might be able to just check out. You know what? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to call it.
I know I found the nuclear trigger, but I'm going to have to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
So if all of this.
Yeah.
I'm going home to my wife and son.
Yeah. Now, the most outstanding thing in the episode to me, I loved everything about Ragman.
Ragman, yes.
I loved every single thing. And I know you got the one thing you wanted, and I'm so happy for you.
I was worried to the pit of my core that they were going to just make him a dude in rags. He was going to be like, it was going to be like that old Dan Aykroyd bit on Consumer Probe, SNL. It was like, what about this? It's just a bag full of oily rags. This costume, this Halloween costume is just a bunch of oily rags with a lighter.
Yeah, that's a good
I thought they were good. Hey, you know, flame on, light up the night.
Back when Aykroyd was at the top of his game.
Yeah. So, sorry, I shouldn't have brought up that sketch because it always makes me laugh.
I know.
The
But you got your magical jacket instead.
Yes. I was so worried he was just going to be like a bum who was just wearing rags.
Just and fight got real fighty.
Well, they were saying stuff like we're not going to be doing magic this year.
Yeah.
We're going back to the nitty-gritty roots of Arrow, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they made it an episode and a half in before they broke that. I'm very happy about it.
I could not be happier. Yeah. Like, I just, yes, Ragman.
Like, dark,
yes.
Dark is one thing. That's a whole, like, little idol he has in his closet and just weird. Like, this, though, and his whole backstory is fantastic.
It is.
I love the little. There's one glance at Felicity when she hears his backstory where she kind of. I felt bad, but that's going to be a lot of fun to explore. Because now, mm-hmm. like, he's going to be on the team, but she essentially created him and she could not feel worse about it somehow. Last living soul of Haven Rock, he calls himself. That was perfect.
Yeah.
His effects look great.
When he grabbed that woman and said, "You have been judged."
Yes.
And found
wanting.
Yeah. That was the shit.
Oh, yeah. And then they look great fighting together. Like,
they did.
Green Arrow just calls him Ragman, I guess. Like, I don't know what else to call him.
Yeah. I saw a little cartoon someone had drawn of Wild Dog and Ragman going to Cisco and saying, "Dude, you've got to help us."
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, first of all, Arrow taking down Wild Dog's perp at the beginning so nonchalantly. He was like, "Oh, man, you let him get
you
away.
You just got the second, blah, blah, blah."
Crumple.
Like, that's the show I love right there. That really is, though, what I love Arrow the most. When he's being a badass, and it's just funny to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. I actually even enjoyed, I knew it was coming, I actually still enjoyed it when he says, you want to be someone else, something else, gives him the card. That's kind of a fun nod to the opening sequence of the show.
Yeah. He and it was fun to watch him go through a whole progression as a recruiter. During that speech, I'm sitting there watching, like, dude, you've got to work on your recruiting strategies. You just, like, walked up to this guy, berated him, and then said, meet me here tomorrow night. I mean, if he does, it's
worked.
And it did work until it didn't. And, like, he's just an absolute asshole when he's training these people. And I get it. And it was a great way of getting us back to the Russia storyline, which, by the way, can I congratulate the show on making the flashbacks fun again for a second?
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying the Bratva stuff. They're making it relevant. Like, there's always something he learned in Russia that's coming up now. That's how the flashbacks were supposed to work. We're supposed to see what he learned in those 5 years that made him the man that we saw when we opened the show.
Absolutely.
And we're doing it now. Thank you, guys. But yeah, like, him recruiting them, terrible. She's absolutely right about what he does. He doesn't build people up, he breaks them down. And she makes she's one of those great Felicity speeches where she says, like, I would stand by Oliver Queen and do stand by Oliver Queen every day, but not Green Arrow. Awesome. Like, Oliver's the leader, not the Arrow. Awesome. That's the freaking speech we needed the whole time. And, you know, you knew it was leading to it because he made the whole thing about the masks earlier. So we kind of knew that was on the table. But, you know, the reveal at the end, when he finally gets them all back there, pulls the hood off. He's already improving as a recruiter. But by the time he goes to recruit Ragman, I think he's finally got his feet under him as like Oliver Queen's, you know, passion actually coming out. Like, let's do our father's justice and all that stuff.
Dude, when he's recruiting Ragman and he says, I don't want to fail anymore.
Yeah.
I got a tear.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
It was good. I mean, this whole episode was just on point with their speeches. Absolutely on point with their speeches.
It was. And on point with their banter.
And with their banter.
Like when the Curtis is trying to do the salmon ladder and he goes, impossible. And she's watching Oliver do it, and she's like, it's really hot.
Well, she was fantastic this episode. He says something about, I can't take them out, they're too green. I've been waiting. She says, I've been waiting 5 years to make that joke.
They're so too green, and they're too green. And she says, some could say the same about you.
Yeah.
And then she just laughs at herself. I've been waiting 5 years to make that joke. That was amazing.
He's just waiting on her to fucking stop laughing. Earlier, she's kind of announcing why she's telling the recruits why she's there, and I think she says something like, I'm here to make sure the maiming stays at a minimum.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like she did a great job with that. Job at all. They were beat up.
Yeah. I enjoyed this back and forth where she Oliver tells Curtis, the last recruit, got an arrow before he even started.
Oh, love that.
And he goes, Roy? And he goes, also Roy. And then Felicity, like, chimes in with, Barry got two in the back.
Yeah. It was good.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah. I think we were joking about that the other day. Like, he just keeps shooting his poor sidekicks, and I was really glad the writers took a moment to have some fun with that.
Yeah, they even had a little fun with Thea when Oliver says something about a mayor moonlighting as a vigilante, and she's like, "Or a vigilante moonlighting as a mayor," and they have this look, like Ollie has this look on his face, like, "I want to contest that, but no, I'm just gonna leave it because."
Damn it,
he looks
sis.
Annoyed and defeated.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
Yeah. and again, Thea really coming into her own now.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job with that this year. And the thing with Lance was fantastic.
Yeah, Lance, I think, even tells her, like, maybe the wrong queen ran for mayor.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably going to see that come to play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Oliver's just too busy being the Green Arrow. She wants to do a different thing, and she's doing great with it. The scene with her and Quentin, and I realized, I didn't realize how far the characters had gone since season one until I, like, watched it. Like, he comes in to meet her, and he's already got this meek body language. And she's doing the thing where she's like, I'll be right with you. And she's, like, finishing paperwork. And I kind of thought, man, this is where we've gone with the show? She was, like, a 16-year-old drunk when I met her. And Quentin was, like, one of the captains of the police department.
And now he's the drunk.
Yeah, now he's the drunk, trying to get it together, and she's got all of her shit together, absolutely pinned up in a bow, and is trying to help him out. But man, this is, you know, as a character arc, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It was a good scene. Lance always does a good job with showing emotion. Man can cry. Now, I don't know how I feel about the, well, we've had problems in the past with, like, his alcoholism storyline and Laurel's alcoholism storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one I'm okay with.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and it's just because, like, he made himself a caricature. It was always, like, Laurel or Sarah. And I mean, now they're both out of the picture, and he's just trying to pull himself together. That's a storyline that I'm going to have more fun with. And, like, Thea trying to help him, and let's give you the big job and make it worth it for you kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was precisely that. It was the fact that, you know, he was always just crying about one of his daughters.
Yeah.
When it was actually Laurel, I mean, like, you can't show me, you know, Laurel drinking half a glass of wine with some sleeping pills and telling me she's an addict.
Yeah.
I'm just not buying it.
They didn't drag her down far enough. If they're going to, like, to me, if they were going to do the alcoholism storyline, I got to see some rock bottom here. And it just seemed like, you know, a couple of bad weeks. It didn't.
And I'm not saying I'm not willing to try to give that to the show and just ignore it or, you know, pretend there was something a little more scandalous going on that we just didn't see because it's the CW show.
Yeah, maybe. But it seems like they could have still, you know, had her lose her job, make a scene in public, whole things.
Well, she did lose her job.
She did lose her job. And she probably did make a scene in public. But I should
and it
remember
was kind it. Of a scene in public.
I really should be able to, like, point out how bad it got.
Well, I mean, okay, look, the fact of the matter is, not that bad. It didn't get that bad. Like, it was silly to us, but, it wasn't the worst damn show, you know? By the way, I do love, speaking of Laurel, I do love the bit, like, I actually got a little, like, choked up when Arrow tells Wild Dog, "This isn't a game. If you need further proof of that, you walk down to the pier and look at that statue of Laurel Lance."
Yep.
I was like, damn.
That was good.
Damn, dude. Hell yeah. You tell that little asshole.
I liked two things with Wild Dog this episode. Actually, I feel like I'm going to like that guy just because I've always liked the actor. But
I already like him. I've never seen the guy before, but I already like
him. You're already digging him a little bit. I mean, two things. One,
I like him
he's his attitude. I'm digging because he's the, like, not my boss, never gonna be. Dude's name is Wild Dog. Like, of course he's.
Well, he doesn't like that though.
I know, and it's a fun little bit that we're gonna have. But dude, when he jumps after Ragman, he looked like a dog springing on prey. It was like I almost laughed a little bit, but I mean, he comes up with the actual piece of the rag, and later everyone's getting on to him, and the way he stands up for himself, like, he's gonna be a fun character. Watch him develop, and maybe him and Oliver actually trust each other. And I know it's gonna be about trust for them because they've already dropped that word too many times.
Yeah, love Wild Dog. We gotta rethink that code name. Mm-hmm. Ollie says no chance.
Mm-hmm. and it's just after he's had this real heartwarming moment with everybody, and then. And back to being an asshole. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love Tobias Church here, where he grabs that dude with the gun.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. That man about to save us $100 million.
I liked the bit before where he's saying, "What's this going to do to your balance sheet? That's for me to worry about." And I feel like it's maybe your golden parachute, and I admire that. Like, like he just loves good crookery, in all its myriad forms. And man, in that scene, freaking Ragman. Dude is scary and super powerful.
I want to see a whole show about Ragman.
Yeah.
I really hope they don't just write him out for some reason because the special effects are too much or some bullshit reason. Dude, I want Ragman.
At least
Ragman.
Want him as Team Arrow.
Yeah, minimally. Dude. Like, let's keep him around.
Actually what I wrote down was, like, Rags and Green Arrow are already working together. Can we keep him dead?
Man.
Oh, and speaking of Church. Got his ass beat at the end of the episode, but we've got that's two episodes in a row we've ended with Prometheus attacking somebody in an alleyway.
I don't mind yet.
I will at three. I decided I will mind at number 3.
I will mind at number 4.
It's 4 for you?
It's 4 for me.
Okay.
Where I'll just be like, okay, what?
Just do something with this guy already.
But he tells Tobias Church, the Green Arrow is mine. You kill him, you die.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
He's obviously not there to stop his criminal enterprising. But that is going to throw a huge wrench in Church's plans, because that was his whole plan for taking over the city. Take down the top guy. Take out the Green Arrow. Mm-hmm. And then it's mine.
Yeah. I think the weakest storyline here was Diggle's so far.
Yeah. Although it's not Ramsey's fault. When that kid he's been talking to the whole episode gets shot, the way he
great
blows
speech.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great speeches on all ends with him today. And
yeah, he's like, I'm scared, and he gives him a great speech, and I'm like, oh, that dude's
that kid's
going to
die. Yeah.
That was like Bendis in episode 1 of Firefly. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That kid's just too pretty to die.
Yeah.
I know he's going to.
I know.
But mainly, this kind of feels like Diggle stumbling upon some guys in his unit who are crooked, and then they're going to frame him. Didn't that happen like last year?
I don't remember.
In a flashback?
Don't recall on that one.
I'm fairly certain that happened.
I mean, you're talking about back with when he was with his brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did something similar. Yeah, you're right. Don't recall the details, and I'm pretty sure nuclear technology wasn't involved, but there was something shady going on in that end of the desert. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean...
But overall, this was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was good. Looking for more. Again, so happy the flashbacks are back to being fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, let's do a couple more years of Arrow, guys. Spin Ragman off into a Shadow Pack series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know who we're going to ask to bring back when you do that?
Constantine.
Here we go. Hell, bring me a Swamp Thing.
I want Constantine. I want Swamp Thing. I want Blue Devil. And I want Detective Chimp.
I'll take all of those,
please.
The rest
is up to you guys.
Thank you. You can bring me a Raven intermittently if you want to.
That's right. I said Detective Chimp.
You'd have to be completely CGI. There's just no way. Because if you tried to do like half CGI, half actual monkey, I would lose my shit immediately.
I mean, you look at the little monkey creature that was on Land of the Lost, man.
I don't remember that.
We could do it. We could do it. They could do it. Let's do this.
Don't remember.
I mean, we've got a Grodd. Why not a little Detective Chimp?
Yeah, it's true. We'll have a little mocap chimp.
That's all I got for this episode. What do you think, man?
I'm good. I'm out.
All right.
Keep them coming, guys.
Thank you for listening to DC On Screen. You can find every episode on DCOnScreen.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever pods are caught. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. You go check out the MCU cast, panel by panel, Breaking the Panel, Booze and Phasers, and Blazing Defender Report, and a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're also proud members of the Batman Podcast Network. We'll be right back with Legends of Tomorrow 201, Out of Time. Until then, guys, keep some DC on your screen.